I have the good fortune of being joined by the composer Kim Portnoy today. Kim has a new album out. It's called Caprice. A lot of great music on here. Chamber music, I should add. We're going to talk all about it. First of all, welcome, Kim, to FM 91.
Thank you, Brad.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, not only because, of course, you've composed these wonderful works, but also because, you know, you're sort of an institution in St. Louis. I myself went to college in St. Louis many, many years ago, so I have a warm spot in my heart for all things St. Louis. But let's talk about your new album. It's called Caprice. I should mention, you know, you're not only a composer, you also are on faculty at Webster University down there, much in demand as a teacher, as well as a composer. Let me ask you to put on your professor hat for just a moment and tell our listeners, if they don't know, what a caprice is.
Well, it's not particularly any kind of musical form. It's really just kind of, in my idea of it, is it's more being affected by the muse, you know. It's generally playful, at least in my sort of pantheon here. So that's my take on the caprice.
Yeah, and you've described a little bit the first piece, which is entitled Caprice. It's a title track, obviously. Did you write all of these pieces more or less around the same time? What's the composition history here?
Well, really, it's probably been, all these pieces were written probably over a period of 15 to 20 years. Some were commissions. Some were just asks by friends of mine who are musicians. And so they kind of run the gamut over a number of different styles and moods and instrumentation, obviously. It's always a privilege to write something when somebody asks you whether or not there's lucre involved. So I always take it as a compliment. It's always a little nerve-wracking as well, because I never know what's going to come out. And so they're kind of taking a risk by asking me.
Well, you've got a collection of works here, and as you mentioned, stylistically, they draw on different styles. I mean, St. Louis is a big blues and jazz town, but it also has a long tradition of great classical music, this fantastic symphony. In fact, you've got some symphony players on this recording as well. Let's talk about we'll take the pieces, we'll go through the list of pieces, because they're all so different. Yet they all fit together under this idea of the caprice, of lighter music, which I will mention is a welcome respite to listen to right now during all this pandemic stuff that's going on.
Sure.
But getting back to the music itself, you're very much influenced, I would say, by the jazz, by the blues. You've got a little bit of Cuban music, a lot of dance music in here as well. Can you talk a little bit about how you, as a composer, have incorporated some of these different styles?
Well, sure. Well, I'm also a jazz musician. I'm a jazz pianist. And so even though right from the beginning, the influences were both classical and jazz. Of course, Gershwin was the starting point, Rhapsody in Blue, which is a hybrid to begin with. So I've always kind of had that interest in both worlds. So yes, harmonically, melodically, especially in terms of rhythm, I'm very attracted to the vernacular, whether it's jazz or Latin music or pop music. And so it's very natural for me to incorporate that into my, quote, for lack of a better term, classical compositions.
Yeah. You've got music for strings and piano on here, the Caprice, which opens the piece. Then you've got these intermezzos for guitar duo, which have a real kind of Latin flavor to them.
Sure, sure. And yeah, then, there's a little bit of Latin, a little bit of funk in some of that as well. And even maybe a little bit of a folky quality in the first one.
I'm interested in how you put these together, because you start with sort of these more ambiguous, encompassing terms, like a caprice, some intermezzos. You've got a couple of blues, but they're, as you mentioned, sort of in a Gershwin-esque kind of style, a classical version of blues. And then you kind of hone it down. You start, you present music that is inspired by personalities. You have this great piece called From an Imaginary Musical, which harkens back to, you know, the heyday of musicals. You've got music that is inspired by Fred Astaire, by Ginger Rogers, by Xavier Cugat. Talk a little bit about that piece.
Well, as I mentioned, Gershwin was certainly a big influence and is the American songbook as well. And so that music is kind of in my DNA. My musical DNA.
Yeah.
So when I was asked to write a piece for this particular concert, given by two super musicians, Alla Vaska-Bornikova, pianist, and Yuli Ilyashov, a violinist, both very much in the classical world, they were giving the heaviest of programs. They were playing a Brahms violin piano sonata and a Shostakovich violin piano sonata. And so I realized that there was no way I was going to out-heavy the heavyweights there. So I thought I'd better take another turn there. So I thought about these pieces as encore pieces. And also, I love writing tunes. Melody is sort of central to my aesthetic, I guess. It's something that I've always loved. And so this was an excuse to basically write tunes and also to pay homage to Gershwin and Irving Berlin and Vincent Yeomans and other of the great Hollywood film composers. I kind of think that maybe I'm a reincarnated studio hack who worked in the music department of MGM or something. I'm not sure, because I definitely love that music very much.
Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with studio hacks. That's okay.
Well,
yeah. It's a perfectly respectable role to play. But your music, of course, goes beyond that. It's really entertaining. And I'm struck by the variances in timbre that you have going on here. Now, you mentioned, one or two pieces that you wrote for specific people. Did you write all of these works with specific performers in mind?
Let's see. Well, the intermezzos, definitely. They were commissioned by the McClellan-Hanser guitar duo. John McClellan and Kirk Hanser. So definitely had those in mind.
Yeah.
The two blues, which is for woodwinds on this particular CD, actually started out as different pieces. One of them was for brass quintet, and the other one was for two pianos.
Uh-huh.
So I felt like I needed more wind music on the CD. And so I know three very fine wind players in St. Louis, and so that piece was crafted, or those pieces were reinterpreted for them. The blues for Anton, this particular version of it, that tune actually started its life as a straight-ahead jazz tune for myself and a very fine jazz guitarist in St. Louis named Steve Schenkel. We played a lot of duos and decided to start writing our own music.
We should mention Anton is Anton Webern. Anybody
right.
who knows Anton Webern doesn't necessarily think of the blues in connection with his composition style.
Right, and actually that tune is false advertising. It's really not a blues in any way, shape, or form. But that word blue was often used in, the 20s and 30s to describe music that maybe wasn't technically blues either.
Right.
So then that was arranged for a big band, and then it so happened that I needed a string quartet to record Caprice. It was originally written for students of the Community Music School at Webster University, their preparatory program there, and premiered by a different string quartet, but it wasn't practical to bring them in because they were from out of town, and the Ariana String Quartet is just a wonderful, wonderful group. And I knew John Magrosso, who's the first violinist, and he had heard Blues for Anton years ago in one of its early incarnations, and had asked if I would arrange it for them, and that never happened. So when I knew that I needed a string quartet for Caprice, I decided to maybe bribe him and see if he still wanted an arrangement of blues for Anton. And so that all worked out, where I ended up writing a new arrangement of that tune, specifically for the Ariana String Quartet, so I knew they were going to play that. And then they also recorded Caprice.
If I were to ask you which track we would listen to right now, what do you suggest?
Well, I guess it depends on how much time you want to spend.
We got plenty of time.
Well, I think Caprice maybe would be a good place, I think, since the title track.
Yeah, sums up the album. Caprice, the Ariana String Quartet. It's music of my guest Kim Portnoy here on Classical Conversations.
Thank you.
That's music by Kim Portnoy, who is actually on the phone with me here in the studio. We heard the title track from his new album. It's called Caprice, that performance from the Ariana String Quartet. And we also have a pianist on there. I have it cut off here, but you can tell me who it was, Kim.
Vera Parkin.
Vera Parkin is the pianist. Yeah, wonderful music. Fun music. As I mentioned before, really great to listen to right now when there's so much going on. Just a couple of other things I want to ask you about quickly. There's one more piece on here, and it has that convention of, you know, 18th century French titles where a memorial to somebody is called a tombeau or a tomb. Mm-hmm. In this case, you have Le Tombeau de Justin Wilson. Tell folks who Justin Wilson was.
Justin Wilson was the Cajun chef. He was also a comedian. I don't know too much about the rest of his career, but he had a show on PBS many years ago called The Cajun Chef, and I think maybe it was on Saturday mornings or Saturday around lunchtime, and I always would get my leftovers or, you know, whatever I was eating and sit myself down in front of the television and watch Justin Wilson, who had a Cajun accent, would say a lot of very funny, clever things. And I was actually asked to write a trombone quartet by a group in town called the Boneheads, otherwise known as the St. Louis Trombone Quartet, with Kurt Silver, a very fine group. At the time, I was listening to some Cajun music, and somehow the idea of writing pieces in honor or memory of Justin Wilson happened, because they're in a somewhat lighter vein.
Yeah,
I guess everything on the recording is somewhat on the lighter vein, but those pieces especially, and so that's sort of how that came about.
That's interesting, and there's such a variety in this collection. Now, did you have a lot to choose from, or did you quickly formulate, you know, how you wanted this album to be put together? How did that happen?
Sure. Well, originally, it wasn't necessarily going to be an album of chamber music. This came about because the chair of the music department was talking to people in development, and this was unbeknownst to me, about potential projects that they could interest donors in, and the idea of my orchestral music came up. And they actually talked to some donors who were interested in that. Well, I don't have a lot of orchestral music. In order to write really, really well for the orchestra, you need to write a lot for the, for the orchestra. And those opportunities are not necessarily available to most composers, though I certainly have written for orchestra. I love writing for orchestra, and the orchestration has gotten stronger over the years, but it wasn't really practical to do that. But I had this these chamber music pieces that I'd written over the years that had never been recorded. Some of them were performed multiple times, some of them performed only once. And so this seemed more practical, first of all. And then I just started kind of narrowing down. There isn't a tremendous amount of chamber music that I've written. I've done a lot for jazz ensembles. I've written vocal music. I've written choral music. I've written some band music. Not too much of that, but some. So I try and mix it up a lot. So it was relatively easy to put this together, because there wasn't there weren't like hundreds of pieces or even 20s of pieces, more like tens of pieces. So I tried to select the strongest ones and thought about the performers in the St. Louis area who I would want to have perform them.
Yeah. Well, I know we're running short of time, but how are things with the pandemic going on right now and quarantining? I know that everybody's going back to school. It's a hot button issue. I mean, how is it affecting what you're doing right now?
Well, again, we're getting ready to go back to school to a Webster University. Most likely, I will be doing my teaching online for various reasons. But the university is hoping to have students on campus in some form or another. It'll be a hybrid, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because some old creaky teachers like myself will need to teach offline, or rather remotely. And the other younger, more robust teachers will probably be in the classroom. I regret that I have to do this. So fortunately, I mean, in many ways, it hasn't affected me like it has so many other people, because I have a job and I'm very fortunate, and I can do my work online if need be. My hope is, of course, that this will be temporary, and maybe by second semester of the spring, it'd be great to be able to be back on campus.
Yeah. Well, we wish you continued safety and good health in St. Louis, where you are right now. Caprice is the title of the new album, the chamber music of composer Kim Portnoy. If folks want to download this or they want access to the album, what do they do, Kim?
Yeah, they can go to Bandcamp.
Okay.
And it's downloadable from Bandcamp. At this moment, the only way to get a hard copy would be to contact me, which they could do if they go to my... If I just look up KimPortnoy.com, you'll get to my website, and there'll be contact info. You'll see my email there.
Okay.
And they can send me that, and we'll work something out.
I promise not to give out your phone number, but we'll link to your website from our
All right.
from ours
sure.
as well. Kim Portnoy, thanks so much. Best of luck with the new album. Beautiful, wonderful music. Really enjoyable to listen to.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me on the show, and good health to you and your listeners as well.